Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Monday morning. The NFL owners' meetings going on down in Florida. Brian Callahan meeting with the media this morning. And we're going to get to some of those comments here in just a second. Joe, by the way, did you see the annual coaches photo that came out from the owners' meetings down there with Brian Callahan sitting on the front row and Vrabel directly behind him with a little bit of a grin on his face? It's pretty funny.
Oh, I'll have to check it out. I remember last year Vrabel had – wait, was Vrabel – well, Vrabel wouldn't have been in it last year.
Not been 2 years ago.
So I guess it was 2 years ago. Vrabel had some goofy stuff going on too. He's real photogenic, that Vrabel.
They placed him right behind Callahan. It's
pretty
funny.
Really cute.
Callahan's not really looking at the camera either, which is also funny. So
why are you holding your hands like that?
Maybe that's what he was asking. I don't know.
Speaking of Brian Callahan's looking away. I have to check this out now.
Speaking of Brian Callahan, he is down answering questions, I believe, as we speak, at the owners' meetings, and was asked about the number one overall pick and when a decision could be coming on that front. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say just a few minutes ago.
I think we're closer, I think. We have another touch point with the two players in Colorado with their pro day and a private workout with them. And then I would say probably we're about two weeks away-ish probably from being pretty dang close to what we want to do. But we'll still work through it. I think the one thing that's been impressive about Mike is very disciplined in his approach and his process, and I've appreciated that. And I think that he's going to go through every possible turn before we get to that point.
So that was Brian Callahan. Says they're about a couple weeks away from maybe really nailing down what they want to do. They still have a couple of touch points in Colorado, obviously referring to Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders there as they go through their process here. But Joe kind of connecting the dots from that and what we talked about in the last segment with some of their comments on PaulKuharsky.com, where if you love a quarterback, there's really not an offer that makes a ton of sense. If you love the quarterback, you just take the quarterback at that point. You know, interesting, as Callahan points out there, one thing that Borgonzi's been very consistent about since he took the job was he has talked about how diligent they're going to be with the number one overall pick and going over every possible scenario, turning over every rock, and it certainly seems like that's what they're doing heading up to all this.
Yeah, that's good. You definitely want to do that. We'd all – you know, it'd be easier if we all had an answer. You know, Texter says, my question is, if they actually love Ward, why haven't they come out and just said it? They have the number one pick. There's no need for them to be mysterious about it. But again, you know, like that happens in those years where everybody knows who the number one pick's going to be. And basically everybody's like, man, what a great year to have the number one pick, because you're going to get Joe Burrow. You're going to get Caleb Williams. Well, that's obviously not this year, right? So at this point, what's the benefit of doing that? What's the benefit? I mean, it'd be great. We'd all have clarity, although I don't know if it'd be great for our show, because, like, you know, we've gotten a lot of mileage out of, like, speculating what they're thinking, you know?
It's true.
Wouldn't
be great for the TV show either on the draft. Like, People laugh about that. The NFL does not want the Titans coming out and saying, yeah, we're taking Cam Ward.
Right. Sure. Yeah, I mean, again, in some years, like, again, last year, they would have loved maybe for intrigue. There was no intrigue because it was who he was, right? Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, that's what it is. Whatever. Like, everybody knew the Bears were taking Caleb Williams. I don't remember, publicly when that was, like, confirmed. But there was no intrigue. This year there is, and the reason is because the guy we're talking about is not a prospect of that caliber. Not, no. Again, a prospect in terms of just the pre-draft evaluation. So you're just going to have to wait. But, yeah, you know, the disciplined approach that Callahan talked about there, and I expect him to say, you know, it's unlike Rand who slept on the plane, you know. Rand slept on the plane. And
Candy Crush.
Mike's got a lot of discipline, a lot of great ideas.
A lot of great ideas to throw around out there. You know, last year's draft didn't really start till pick number three. That's how it goes sometimes, right? Like, you knew Caleb Williams was going number one. You knew Jaden Daniels was going pick number two. And sometimes that's just the way it shakes out. That's not really the case in this year's draft. And to that point, Callahan was asked a few minutes ago about whether or not there's a leader in the clubhouse for the number one overall pick. Here was Brian Callahan's response to that.
Yeah, I think it's maybe I would be wrong to say there's a leader in the clubhouse at this point. We're still going through all the process. And we got meetings coming up still that we have to finish when it comes to the Colorado players, both Travis and Shador, their pro day and then their private workout. So we're just looking for those guys to perform, and that's all we're looking for. There's nothing that they need to do or not do. We want them to just perform as best they can, and we'll do our evaluation part of it.
So that was Brian Callahan. Interesting choice of words there, Joe, because he didn't say that there wasn't a leader in the clubhouse. He said it would be wrong for him to say that there's a leader in the clubhouse, which I think are two very different things.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So worth a shot with that question, but that was a very nice little sidestep there by Brian Callahan. So the video, so the quotes, who are we crediting for these?
So
quotes?
Jim Wyatt had that last one. Teron Davenport had the first one. So a healthy Titans media contingent down at the owners meetings. Keyser has actually sent a picture that I believe came from Brian McCarthy at NFL PR guy on Twitter. There's an unbelievable amount of people at these owners meetings. It's crazy. Like, this entire room is basically people are shoulder to shoulder.
Man, I hope they got enough eggs. You know, PK and Pellicero want to have their little poached egg biscuits together. Yeah, so for the Titans, then, obviously, Jimmy, you know, with the Titans, you got TD, PK, I assume Nick Suss from the Tennessee in there would be.
I think Andrew's down there.
Oh, Andrew's down there too.
Andrew's down there too.
Okay, there we go. Well, that's a pretty good contingent. Yeah. Now that picture is like I mean I remember a few years ago, because there was one year where like Kaharski, I don't know, he had like I don't know if he had a drink with Amy or just Amy had a drink, whatever. I just remember there was some video, you know, they're sitting there and it's like no one there, and now it's like just everyone in the world goes, oh God, these things.
You could be there. That could be what you're doing right now.
Yeah, I don't think you can never say never on anything, but I've never been to an NFL owners meeting and may never get there. And I tell you, it looks fantastic. I will say I'll be very sad if there isn't at least video of Jordan Schultz and Kaharski having their confrontation.
Yep.
Between all the media, we should be able to get video.
There should be a pretty, I mean, maybe even some audio tossed in there too. Be great.
Yeah, exactly.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. More reaction to Brian Callahan, Mike Borgonzi, Chad Brinker, some comments from owners' meetings, including a decision that happened earlier this offseason that I think we all raised our eyebrows about that now has a little bit more clarity. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, a news item to get to that's coming out of the Brian Callahan availability. Kuharski and TD and Jim Wyatt and others putting this out there. Treylon Burks, not likely to be ready for training camp, but he might be ready for the start of the season. So there you go. That's probably going to be one of the few times we talk about Treylon Burks moving on from here forward, but there's your injury update. Likely not ready for camp, could be ready for the start of the season on the Treylon Burks front. So right now he's in the receiving room, Joe. So there you go.
All right. Well, there's that, and then I saw, you know, Borgonzi, I guess this would have been yesterday, had some comments about Will Levis to the effect of, trade him? Yeah. What do you mean? Saying he's in the building and he's working hard, and so I don't know. Will Levis to Treylon Burks, the connection continues in 2025.
We'll see what happens. I'm sure if he is able to get out there for camp, it could be electric in camp by the time that thing comes around. So, you know, we brought up some work that Paul Kuharski did. You can go check out some of his conversations with Borgonzi and Brinker and Callahan. Really interesting stuff on the Dan Moore front at paulkuharski.com as well. One thing that also came up, Joe, was what happened with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who is now a member of the Miami Dolphins. And here was a quote from Chad Brinker that Paul Kuharski threw out there. Quote, he was on our radar. We made an offer to him. We were trying to bring him back. We wanted him to be part of our team. As you know, that's the risk you take when it gets to free agency. Other teams get involved. There are other opportunities maybe players want to look at, and in that case, it just didn't work out. This was what Chad Brinker had to say on Nick Westbrook-Ikhine shaking loose and becoming the newest member of the Miami Dolphins. Joe, your thoughts?
Lies. Lies, lies, lies. You're stewing that the rest of your career.
He might make you.
Brutal.
No, who has more touchdowns this year for the Dolphins, Tyreek Hill or NWI?
That's a good question. I'm sure it'll be a heck of a – I mean, that one-two tandem, it'll probably be like, who's the MVP of the NFL? No. Which one of these guys?
Waddle, you know? Move aside. You're not catching as many passes this year, bub.
Yeah, Waddle. Waddle's a good NWI backup, yeah.
Waddle your way to the sideline. NWI's coming on the field.
There you go. Tua finally has a weapon where we can see Tua's true talent shining through in the NFL. There you go. We'll miss you, Nick.
Also, Brian Callahan saying earlier this morning, Joe, that he believes that Bryce Oliver could fill that void left behind by NWI, which is not necessarily a new thought. We've talked about that and the idea of Bryce Oliver having an elevated role in the receiving room. I mean, as the room is currently constructed, Joe, there's not going to be any choice. He's going to have an elevated role. But what do you make of Callahan throwing that out there that he feels like Bryce Oliver could step in to that NWI role?
Yeah. So now, to take it away from the NWI joking, which some people have listened to this show for years and never picked up on it, yeah, that's fine. And that's – so if Bryce Oliver can be your fourth or fifth receiver, good. You know? So who's – 2, 3, and 4-ish. That's my question.
Yeah.
There's nobody to fill those spots right now. 2, 3, and 4. Maybe 2, 3. But again, you know, I like Bryce Oliver. I think he could be a 4. But you're talking about 2 and 3, huge, huge roles if you want this offense to have a chance. And I got no answers on either of them. I think one of them will be a draft pick, but what about the other one?
Yeah, I have no idea what Bryce Oliver is going to be. I mean, the guy has 6 catches for 95 yards in his career to this point. So, you know, he's a young guy. They need more young guys in their receiving room. He's 24. So maybe he can get in a spot this year where he elevates and plays well. Like, he made some plays for him in the preseason last year. Like, Bryce Oliver, they may be really happy there. I don't think that it probably serves you all that well this year, Joe, to have Bryce Oliver on the field all that much. That's just my my immediate takeaway on that thought.
I agree. And also, as I sit here today, I think we're going to see a fair amount of Bryce Oliver on the field.
We might see.
That's just going to be my guess.
So an interesting back and forth. TD put this video out there between him and Brian Callahan on the Cam Ward front. Callahan going through his process of kind of the draft and what that could look like in terms of the timeline of making a decision. TD asked him an interesting follow-up in the middle of this clip as well. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say.
Yeah, I get where that sentiment would come from, but I'll just say this again: like, the one thing that Mike has preached this whole process is that we're going to go through it, and that means making sure we're doing our due diligence and all the players available, all the options available. I think that's the right way to go about it, is to make sure you're doing the right things by every player that's there for you and looking at all the options. And then when you make a decision, and the decision's been made, then you move forward. But I think anytime that you just sit and you just pretend like there's nothing else out there, I don't think that's a disciplined approach. I don't think that you get a chance to look at the totality of the class. So I just think there's a part of doing the job the right way, and I think that's our approach. And again, once we make the decision, no matter what it is or who it is, we'll be thrilled to death. But I think the right thing to do is to do it the way we're doing it and make sure that you turn over all the rocks and you go through all the things you have to go through until you get to that point.
So you would say it's pretty accurate to say, like, even though you guys haven't said outright that's your guy, there's still, like, he still could be. Like, that doesn't mean that you are out on him, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, that has nothing to do. I would say whatever we're doing has nothing to do with any specific player. We're just making sure we're doing our due diligence in the process. And, you know, when the time comes to make the decision, then we'll be ready and excited about whatever that is. So I wouldn't say it precludes anybody from being in it or that we're not excited about whatever the pick is going to be. I just think we're making sure that the process is done right.
So TD throwing it out there, you know, just because you guys haven't outright said that Cam Ward's your guy doesn't mean that Cam Ward's not your guy, right? And an interesting response there from Callahan. What'd you think of that, Joe?
Yeah, it's the right things to say, and it sounds like the right things to do. I agree with that idea. Yeah, it's March 31st, man. It's, you know, the draft's more than 3 weeks away, so you go through everything. I understand, like, okay, a fan, I get it. You could be like, okay, well, you just had your private workout with him, another dinner with him, his pro day. You've had the combine. You already had the film for months. Well, what's the due diligence? What else? Again, this week they have Shedeur Sanders. Do I think Shedeur Sanders is going to, you know, do something at his pro day that's going to change the math? No, but I agree with what he's saying. You know, I mean, it makes sense. And again, there's just no reason. There really is no reason to, you know, to make some public declaration. And like you said, Robbie, I mean, the NFL would discourage that anyway.
They would.
Let's make it as suspenseful as possible. Now, like last year, what happened? Last year, did they, you know, were they talking through this? Like, man, if Latham's there, you know, really love him. And then Callahan was like, but Rand, what about like Brock Bowers? And Rand's like, hold on, I got to take a nap and we'll get back to that. Okay. Just let me take a nap and we'll see. And then they never talked about it. And then they didn't take Brock Bowers.
Guys, I've almost beaten this level of Candy Crush. Can you hold off just for another second? Hold on.
Is there actually a Candy Crush thing or no?
Kuharsky said Candy Crush. Now, I don't think he was being literal, but that's what he said.
So, but
if you want the GM playing Candy Crush, you got your guy last time. That's what he said.
Is that like he's actually saying like he's like plays games on his phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
meanwhile,
nap.
Mike
that sounds like
Mike
me napping and playing games on my phone.
Yeah, Mike Borgonzi doesn't even look at his phone unless it's a text from another GM family member. It just everybody's blocked.
He's
on
got
his
a
phone.
Flip.
No apps. Yeah, no apps. Exactly. Yeah, there you go. Just a flip phone. So there's no chance. You know, all numbers blocked other than other GMs.
Remember the old Nextel back in like the early 2000s. The walkie-talkie. You got one of those.
Oh, we had those.
Yeah, we had the walkie-talkie. It's just the only people that could contact him are the other GMs around the league.
Man, I love those phones. The Motorola flip phone with the Nextel. And like Katie and I'd be at the mall. Hey, I'm over in the Crumble Cookie. Okay, I'll meet you over there in 5 minutes.
Need to bring those back. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Max Herz will join us coming up next. They're doing a really cool thing tomorrow for an animated broadcast with the Nashville Predators. What I've always wanted to see, Max Herz, Chris Mason in animated form. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Row, Nick Keys are here with you on this Monday morning. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Philadelphia Flyers. They got Columbus coming up tomorrow, and Max Herz, Chris Mason, going to be doing something really cool tomorrow. To help us talk more about that, let's head to our 1025, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Max Herz to the program. Max, good morning. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm great. Ready to get animated tomorrow on April Fool's Day, which has made it really hard to explain to people that this is something real and something that's actually happening in the real world. They're like, oh, you're becoming a cartoon? That's very believable. When is it? And say it's on April Fool's Day, and then they really don't believe me. But it's real. It's happening.
It is. It is very interesting timing from that standpoint. So for those who may be unfamiliar, tell us what's happening tomorrow and where people can find it as the Predators take on the Columbus Blue Jackets tomorrow night.
So 6 o'clock on Channel 5, Nashville CBS. It's Music City Hockey in Smashville, the Preds' first ever animated broadcast. It is going on simultaneously as the Preds play the Columbus Blue Jackets, and the entire game will be taking place in cartoon form. C. Mace and I will be your hosts. Nash will be your guide leaving the scavenger hunt. And we have an entire animated version of Smashville. So it's Broadway, it's the Batman building, it's Bridgestone Arena, it's an outdoor hockey rink downtown, but it's tons of other Nashville landmarks brought together in this cartoon world as well. and the NHL and its partner companies have done an amazing job creating this cartoon land. It is simply unbelievable how detailed it is, how much fun we're going to have. And we are one of four teams that gets to do this on a local broadcast this year. So it's tomorrow night during the game at 6 o'clock on Channel 5. It'll go for the duration of the game, so it'll be about 3 hours. It is not viewable outside of Nashville live, but it will go on the NHL's YouTube page on Wednesday for anyone, kids, adults, whoever, to watch for the rest of time. And it's a broadcast designed for kids. We'll be talking a lot about the rules of hockey, about our players, and also about Nashville and Music City and what it means to be part of Smashville. So it'll be about the game. It'll have some elements where we're teaching you about the city and the team and our chants and all of that. It'll be a really fun mix. And most importantly, I think the energy from it is going to be contagious. And Mason and I will have a really fun time with it. So whether you join us for a minute of it or watch the whole thing, we think it's going to be a lot of fun. And for those of you down in Williamson County, there is also a watch party designed for kids at the factory at Franklin tomorrow night at 6.
Okay, pretend I'm dumb. So I know this is a huge stretch for you guys. So how does this, so is this is like you guys have done this, or how does this work in coordination with a live game happening?
No, it will be live. It will be live as the game happens. We have rehearsed a few things, and a few portions of it are pre-planned. And it's not like we're always going to be talking about the game as well. We're going to be bouncing around Smashville. But it will be 100% live. And Mason and I will be at the NHL Studios in New York City with a couple of screens going on. We'll be able to see the real game. We'll be able to see the animated game. And we'll also have virtual reality headsets on, which will be how you see our characters. You'll see our faces and our arm and hand movements all coming from VR when you see our cartoon likenesses, which is awesome. And they can drop us anywhere in the cartoon world. They can put us on top of the Batman building. They can put us on Broadway rooftops. They can put us in the Ryman on stage at the Opry with the country star bobbleheads who are going to be a part of it. So they could drop us anywhere. But we will be watching and reacting to the game as it happens with tons of other fun stuff mixed in. And it is completely live, and a big staff from the NHL will be working on it with us. It's a true collaboration effort. The Preds provided the ideation and helped the NHL create this world. And from there, we're in their facility with their staff making this a reality, and it's getting to see it is unbelievable. And I'm in New York right now. Mason and I will be in their studio today going through a set day and seeing everything that they've produced for us finalized. And I can't wait to see it because it seems like there's a ton that they've done for us. It's incredible.
Well, we were talking about this the other day. They've done some similar things to this in the NFL, and it's been a very popular thing. So like the technology to be able to do this in live time while the game's going on. And then also, as you said, I mean, you can bounce you and Mace around to different Nashville locations here. Like, the technology's pretty awesome here that you're dealing with.
It's incredible. It's really, really incredible. And this is something that's going to become a norm, these alternate broadcast feeds. And we are one of the first local teams in any sport to be able to do this. And the NHL is the first league to open this up for local broadcasts. Previously, they've only been on national TV. So it's been a wild success when it happens, and people want more of it. And I think opening it up for it to just be a Preds broadcast is a major, major step for a league. The Bruins and Lightning have done it within the last couple of weeks. The Flames will be the last team to do it this year, coming up at some point within the next week or two between now and the end of the season. So 17 teams applied to get to do this year. We were one of a group of four that was chosen and made it to the finish line. So it's a big honor for us, for the people at the Preds who worked on it, in our marketing department and in our broadcast department. People worked really, really hard on this. And also for our fans. It's kind of the same honor as being chosen for an outdoor game or to go back for more games in Europe this year. It's because the NHL loves what the Preds do. They love the motif for the broadcast with Music City Hockey, and they know that our fans will appreciate it. So it's a tribute to our fan base, and it's something fun to put at the end of the season here.
Well, Max, we're looking forward to it coming up tomorrow on News Channel 5 at 6 o'clock. Going to be a lot of fun, and appreciate you taking time to be with us today here on the program.
Yeah, guys, my pleasure. And anybody with questions about it, feel free to tweet at me, or even if you're watching, if your kids are watching, tweet at us. Let us know who's watching. We'll try and look at it, give you a shout-out, and if nothing else, say thank you after.
Yep, no doubt about that. Max Herz, our guest. You can check it out tomorrow, News Channel 5 at 6 o'clock. Predators taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets. We'll have the animated broadcast on that front. So Joe's world's going to be blown up tomorrow night just watching this, some cartoon Max Herz and Chris Mason. It's going to be fun.
Well, I saw the commercial. Is Max still there?
He's gone.
Yeah, I saw the commercial, and it looks like Simpsons animation to me.
Yeah,
I don't know
does.
I don't know if that's a thing, but they look like Simpsons characters, right?
Well, I think Max was taller than C-Mace in the animation too, which was also fun. We were joking about that with him the other day. Because in real life, he is not taller than C-Mace.
There's not that big of a difference, though, is there?
I mean, there's a pretty significant difference.
Is there? Okay. Yeah. That is funny. Good for you, Max.
I mean, C-Mace isn't Hal Gill or anything, but yeah, he's good size.
Yeah.
Guy.
Yeah, yeah. Cartoon Max just towers over people. No wonder he likes this.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrow coming up next. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexrow, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On Brugler, he actually has him fourth. He has him as a first, second round grade and number 30 overall. I mean, I think that's got to be largely about the injury. You're talking about a microdiscectomy.
Ugh.
By the way, I didn't even realize this. He also has had a torn ACL in the past. And sciatica symptoms from lifting weights that required a different surgery. So two surgeries plus an ACL.
What was that last word?
Sciatica. Sciatica, and I may be totally butchering that, symptoms from lifting weights.
You probably sciatica. Are.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, it's sciatica. Oh, my God, I'm an idiot.
One of the great moments in the history of this program. And, Joe, we're getting close to what's got to be the anniversary of that. This is draft time, talking about Caleb Farley, so probably approaching 4 years. Hard to believe.
The gift that keeps on giving, that one. Let me tell you something. Yeah.
Sciatica.
Oh, man, watch out for the sciatica. Sciatica and scurvy together. It's a yeah, you will really get farted up with that stuff, okay?
You will.
So I just have decided to pivot here because I'm really enjoying all the stuff coming out of the owners' meetings. There's just stuff flying around left and right. Two things in particular. Three. I just saw, Brian Callahan is talking about how Legarius Sneed is, going to be coming back strong and ready for camp.
Better hope
which
so.
Brings me to, my question is like, okay, so ready to not participate in camp again? Is he going to be ready for camp? I thought he doesn't do camp.
Right.
Who cares if he's ready for camp, right? Like, will he play in football games this year? But a couple things that really stand out to me on the stupid front. One of them is apparently Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones splitting reps, baby.
Oh, God.
I mean, if you're Anthony Richardson, you're like, well, if I can just beat out Daniel Jones – This is now what this franchise thinks of me. They're going to give me a chance to compete with Daniel Jones and split reps with him. I mean, truly amazing. I need Indy Ben's spin on how this is a great thing. This is a culture of competition in Indy. That's what it is, by God. You earn your spot on that field. And then also, Mike Vrabel. Now, this one is really interesting. He is now. I don't know if people have been following. I mean, I know it's like the Titans aren't really in the offensive tackle situation, so maybe you're not following as closely. But there's all this stuff. It's every year there's somebody. But Will Campbell of LSU is this year's like Skoronski, basically his short arms, right? So like everybody says, excuse me, that he's going to end up being a guard, right?
Yeah,
a guard. And Vrabel says today, Will Campbell, that guy's a left tackle, by golly. So does that mean that Vrabel has learned from the Skoronski situation, or is there anything to learn from the Skoronski situation? Would Skoronski be a good tackle? I don't know. I'm not saying they're the exact same prospect, but basically that's the knock. That's the reason that people saw Skoronski as a guard and why a lot of people see Will Campbell as a guard. But Mike Vrabel now is a believer in short-armed tackles. Take that for whatever it's worth.
See, he blaming the Skoronski pick on Rand now? Like, is he just Rand was playing Candy Crush, and we told him to go do something else, but he just went up there and he picked Skoronski.
Rand, come here. Let's measure Peter's arms. Hold on, man. I got to take a little snooze, okay? You guys get back to me on that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Vrabel is trying to drum up a little trade value? I mean, nobody wants to trade up for a guard, so maybe a tackle.
Yeah, I
don't think anybody's going to trade up for a tackle in this year's draft either, but you never know.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's definitely – that's really interesting given – what they did here. And again, I don't know that Skoronski, I haven't watched Skoronski and said, man, that guy should be a left tackle. You know, when he moves his feet, that's not what I think. So don't get me wrong. I think people think because he hasn't been as good as hoped, he hasn't been a Pro Bowl, all pro superstar guard.
Yeah.
And because he played tackle, because he was a good tackle at Northwestern in college, well, that's why, because they moved him to the wrong. I don't watch him and think, oh, that guy should be a left tackle in this league. But, hey, you know, I get it. If something doesn't work out, then go to the initial decision. But it is interesting that Vrabel thinks this of Will Campbell. And, again, I'm not saying they're the exact same prospect, but that's the thing. And there are people who will tell you, if you don't have that arm extension against these top edge guys, like they'll gobble you up.
Joe, it's going to be interesting to see where the tush push goes as they're kind of going through the rule proposals this week. That's a big topic of conversation. My beloved Green Bay Packers leading the charge on trying to get the tush push out of the NFL. Mike Tomlin was asked about it this morning. Diana Russini put this quote out there, and Tomlin's response was, quote, "My perspective is the player safety component, he's open-minded." And apparently there's some real consideration here about getting rid of the tush push. It's going to be very interesting to see where this goes.
Well, there was some reporting yesterday that it got heated in the room, in the competition committee room, which tells you that it's close. It's got to be close, which is surprising. I didn't think it would get that much support, but obviously it has that kind of support. So, you know, we've gone back and forth. I mean, I guess I have finally settled on I slightly favor getting rid of it. I mean, the player safety thing, it does seem to me like wild that we haven't had more injuries with that thing. But also it just seems wrong that you can do that. At the same time, it does seem also like you're just penalizing one team for dominating with something they came up with and used to their advantage, and I hate that. You know, I hate that it seems like it's basically everybody pointing at the Super Bowl champion and saying, you know, you got to stop doing that thing.
Yeah, it was interesting.
But I think it should. I think it should be. I think it should be toast.
Did you see what Sirianni said the other day about it? He was talking about it, and he brought up Jonathan Gannon in Arizona, Steichen in Indy, and Kellen Moore. He says, "See how it goes." All I'll say about it is, Gannon, Steichen, and Moore better vote for it. They're in the head coaching position they're in right now because of that play. So all three, I better have those votes right there. Sirianni said about some votes on his side there.
These guys wouldn't even approach being head coaches if it wasn't for the tush push.
Yeah, the tush push. Yeah, I mean, you know, the city of Philadelphia might be shut down right now if not for the tush push. You know, the whole Rocky franchise. Yeah. Like, what? Yeah, calm down, buddy.
John Tortorella would still have his job if you got rid of the tush push.
That sounds like that was an interesting situation, by the way.
Yes, it does. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. We'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. Coming up next, we'll get his reaction to some of the comments coming out of the NFL owners' meetings down in Florida. His thoughts on all things Titans as well. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.